Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Now, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, we are hanging out once again. It's BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Michael Beck, Jeffrey Benedict, and our special guest, Mitch Mullany, from the Bottom Line View, hanging out with you tonight, talking a little bit about the Steelers-Ravens matchup and everything that's kind of led up to the game that was supposed to be tomorrow. It's going to go on Sunday. If you didn't already know, I hate to break the news to you, but Sunday at 1:15 on NBC, this is when that game is now kicking off. Now, Mitch, question right off the top here. Should the Steelers dominate this game? When you look at the teams, you look who the Ravens are missing, you look at the Ravens' injuries, and you see how the Steelers have gotten healthier from the last time they played. Plus, you factor in this game being in Pittsburgh. Should this be an absolutely cakewalk of a game for the Steelers?
I would never say that a Ravens-Steelers game is going to be a cakewalk. I've seen too many competitive games. But I do expect the Steelers to win the game. Maybe that's a spoiler. I don't know. I do expect the Steelers to win the game because I just feel they're healthier. They're playing better football. What we've seen of the Ravens, I think maybe people are starting to turn the corner on them from preseason expectation. But I saw week after week, like the last 3 weeks, I'm like, are you guys watching the Ravens play? Like, they're not the best team right now. They're not even a playoff team at the moment. So, yeah, they're not what we thought they would be coming into the year, at least the majority of people. So they have a lot of injuries. There is a matchup, though, or within the matchups, I do feel like there's areas where the Steelers can't necessarily take advantage of the Ravens' deficiencies, specifically the Steelers' run game versus the Ravens' run defense. Ravens' run defense is bad right now because they're without Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell. When those guys are in, they're great, but they're not. The Patriots ran all over them. The Titans ran all over them. I don't think the Steelers have the same run game as those teams do currently. So that might be difficult because the Ravens still have a good secondary. So that at least they can still match up with the Steelers receivers in the passing game. So I think it's going to be a defensive game. I think it's going to be low scoring because I see the Steelers defense having a rebound from the last matchup, containing the run better. Lamar has struggled passing. They're going to get after him. They haven't been able to protect him very well. So I think the Steelers should win, but I would expect it to be a low scoring close game.
Now, Jeffrey, speaking of Lamar, not just in this matchup, but historically, his two games against the Steelers have been the two worst games of his career. Yeah, can you explain why that necessarily has been and why the Steelers have been able to take advantage of the reigning league MVP?
Well, there's two things that show up. One is Lamar has a bad game, and two is Gus Edwards gains more yards than he should, and the Ravens kind of gash us in the running game. And the reason that is our approach to dealing with their offense is to get hits on Lamar. And week 17 of last year when they put in RG3, we did the same thing. It was just TJ Watt coming off that edge, going straight at Lamar, going straight at them. And if they don't have the ball when he gets there, he just shoves them. He doesn't tackle them. He puts hands on them, like kind of just they're there. RG3 was thrown off that whole week 17 game. I mean, the Steelers could do nothing to do anything to offset anything the Ravens did. We were terrible that week. But RG3 was constantly complaining about it. He's like, dude, they're hitting me every single play, no matter what I do. And that's what we're going to do. And we do the same thing to Lamar Jackson. The counter to it is the Steelers then run, as it usually is, Gus Edwards right at where TJ Watt should be. They're like, okay, if TJ Watt's going to hit Lamar, then Lamar hand it off and Gus Edwards run where TJ Watt needs to be, and he won't be there. And they gash us for big gains, but we take the quarterback out of the equation. So really, it's kind of I understand the strategy for the Steelers. It frustrates me that we give up all the big run plays, but it's kind of like we'd rather see you try to beat us with Gus Edwards than try to beat us with Lamar Jackson. Like, we respect Lamar Jackson. He can win a game. Gus Edwards being your sole offense and trying to win a game, that's not – we're not worried about that. We're not worried about Gus Edwards single-handedly beating us. So we'll keep coming, keep putting contact on Lamar, keep messing with him. You know, keep disrupting what he's trying to do.
Now, Mitch, do you think that's a game plan the Steelers might employ in this game?
Yeah, the way I think I look at the Steelers defense and why they match up so well with Lamar is because they have those edge setters. So that's what you need to be able to do versus the Ravens, because you need to be able to take away the big play of Lamar. That's why with what we're saying here is Lamar is the big play threat. It's not the running back, because he's the speed. If he gets to the edge, he's gone a lot of the times for 20-yard gains. So by setting the edge with Watt and with Dupree, those two guys are fast and strong and good versus the run, so they can kind of set that edge, force it inside. And then the Steelers are basically saying, okay, we have really good interior linemen. Like, maybe we're going to, you know, maybe you're going to get a couple runs here and there, but most of the times our guys are going to win the reps. So they're basically saying, we're going to let our 3-4 guys in the middle, you know, clog up the lanes and hopefully you only get 3-yard gain. And then we'll force you into a passing situation and we'll get after you. But that's why I think Lamar struggles versus them, because they have that great strength in the middle, but able to set the edge as well.
Now, flipping from the Ravens running game and how they've been so successful against the Steelers, now looking at the Steelers running game in this one, absolute worst case scenario, it appears likely that Calais Campbell will not be able to play. There's just not enough time to test negative. Brandon Williams, I think he has the extreme close contact plus an injury, so likelihood of him playing, I would say, is fairly slim, 50-50 at best right now. Derek Wolfe, who knows if he has an illness, whether or not he's even allowed to play. Say those three guys are out, Jeffrey. Do you think James Conner can actually have like a really memorable day in this matchup?
I wouldn't say memorable. I think we could see what we saw against the Jacksonville Jaguars. A solid game, not a great game, but a really solid game where the pass has set up the run. Our offensive line just isn't there right now. David DeCastro has not been the same since he came back from that injury. He's pass blocking great. He is not getting push in the run game. He's holding his own, but he's not able to drive guys back. They're not creating the holes. So it's the good news is the Steelers beat the crap out of the Cincinnati Bengals when they tried that, putting an extra linebacker in the box and take away the short pass game. We finally broke that. And you saw against the Jaguars, they rarely used it, and the run game got going a little more. The Steelers have a solution. If you put extra guys in the box and just try to do what the Titans did to us, we have solutions for that now. So I do think James Conner will gain respectable yards. I don't think he's going to have like a great game where we say, wow, James Conner just really torched the Ravens. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. Now, Mitch, on the flip side of the ball for the Ravens, their O-line is also in shambles right now. Of course, Ronnie Staley broke his ankle. He's out for the year. No Marshall Yanda. Skura, their starting center, the backup center who started for him a week ago, both going to be out in this game. Do you think the Steelers front seven that's been so good this year could have a memorable game in that sense?
I would expect that's probably where they're going to win the game, because I think, like we said about their run game, that was what was so surprising the first time they played, because I expected like the Steelers with their number one run defense to be able to contain, but it's interesting because the way the Steelers play run defense is kind of like chaotic. And they try to just send people like almost run blitz people. So that's kind of maybe why they gash them so much. So I expect them to be a little bit more conservative versus the run and then send that chaotic blitz nature versus the pass. So yeah, I expect their pass rush to win the game. Because the key to playing Lamar is, and the Ravens, because they have no good receivers or receiving weapons, is to force them into the third situation. Some teams, like the Chiefs, you don't want them to pass. You want them to run. But with the Ravens, you want them to pass. So as long as they can handle that early down run, then they'll be fine on third down, and they could get, you know, 3-4 sacks in this game, I think.
Something worth noting that first Ravens game too, Tyson Alualu only played 6 snaps. He's one of the highest grading defensive linemen there is in football this year. Mike Hilton missed that entire game, who's kind of like an extra linebacker on the field as a nickel corner. Speaking of linebackers, though, however, Jeffrey, we kind of saw Robert Spillane kind of get targeted a little bit early in that Jaguars matchup. Of course, the Steelers did go out and invest a little bit of draft capital in bringing Avery Williamson into the fold. Do you think this is the week that Williamson kind of gets infused a little bit more into this defense, or are they still kind of trying to ease him in, or just kind of let him play that reserve role?
I expect this to be a heavy dose of Robert Spillane. I expect it to be Spillane and Vince Williams because they're going to be jamming that run game. Robert Spillane's single best attribute is he switches from man coverage to blitzing in a heartbeat. He is so aware of that situation, and we run that a lot, where if your job is to cover the running back and you see that running back blocking, get after the quarterback, like go, but you still have to be responsible if that guy leaks out. And Robert Spillane is doing that job at a very high level. So I expect we will keep him on the field as much as possible. I don't think Avery Williamson is going to play much at all. If we can start forcing the Ravens into dime, then you'll see obviously Spillane and Williams come out. But I expect a lot of Williams. I expect a lot of Spillane as they really, really double down to stuff the run game and make Lamar beat him with his arm.
Now, Mitch, the last couple of weeks, we've heard the word trap game get thrown around a lot. It's interesting, though, to this matchup specifically. Do you think the Steelers could take the Ravens lightly, or is the matchup just too big? Because, like, you still got to keep in mind how many players the Ravens will be missing.
I'll never rule it out. Maybe, but I mean, this is like your brother. You're playing them. I don't think you can ever take that rivalry lightly. So, yeah. I thought, you know, the Cowboys game, that was a trap game. Even though they won the game, it was a trap game. Like, there might be games down the schedule where they play a team that's not as good as them on paper, that they just come out flat. That could definitely happen. But the Ravens, I know they're missing a lot of players. I don't think so.
Yeah, and you know, I think that the factor of them being pretty angry about everything going on will keep it from being a trap game. But how about this one for a tougher question for you, Jeffrey? Actually, I'll ask both of you guys, but Jeffrey first. Who has a better chance of making the playoffs this year, the Cleveland Browns or the Baltimore Ravens?
You know what? Nick Chubb is back. I'm going Cleveland.
Yeah,
when Nick Chubb is there, he's their entire offense, and he's unstoppable right now.
Mitch?
He's pretty good. Yeah, Nick Chubb's pretty good at football. But, the Cleveland Browns actually are probably the right answer, even though I don't think they're as good of a team, because the Cleveland Browns, I believe, play one of the easiest schedules in football the rest of the year. So I actually looked at their schedule the other day. I can't exactly remember, but it was like, not any teams that I would consider much better than Cleveland. And the crazy thing is, I just said on my picks video today, the Cleveland Browns are the best bad team I've seen in a couple of years. Like, I don't think Cleveland's good at all. And they've gotten blown out by the Ravens. Like, so yeah, whenever they play a good team, they get blown out but they take care of business versus the teams they should beat. And that's kind of like those teams that end up 10-6 ish. And that's probably Cleveland.
Yeah, that 10-6 purgatory, almost like some years you make the playoffs, some years you don't, but you'll never win a championship. I still think they're a quarterback away from actually being anything really special, but I'm also leaning that way.
They're definitely that the quarterback Browns, away.
The Browns are going to have
Baker
a two-game
Mayfield talks.
The Browns are going to have a two-game advantage on the Ravens.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like, yeah, they play the Steelers week 17, but as we've talked about a lot, the Steelers might be resting a ton of players that game.
Yeah,
I know. Outside of that, like even if the Ravens blew them out again, like the Browns are still going to have a game advantage, and Baltimore's still going to win out the rest of the year if they want to surpass the Browns. So, in that sense, it's going to be really interesting. Now, speaking of the Ravens, Jeffrey, in this game specifically, do the Baltimore Ravens have enough offensive weapons? If this game crept into the 30-point range, like if the Steelers put up 30 in this game, do the Ravens have enough on offense to match that?
No, absolutely not. they need a breakout game. They would need like a huge breakout game from somebody, like J.K. Dobbins suddenly just, you know, turns into an absolute beast on the field, starts breaking tackles, and just break a tackle and then gone. Then maybe like you'd need like a 200-yard game from Dobbins. You'd need Marquise Brown to suddenly figure out how to play wide receiver. You'd need something huge for this team to be a 30-point team, in my opinion. Alternately, if the defense could score a few touchdowns. If there's always the option of Ben Roethlisberger decides to come out and have a 4-interception game. There's always that in the cards. We haven't seen that from him this year. We've seen a couple of picks that really weren't that bad of a throw, or they were kind of like, yeah, you know why you did that throw. We understand. But we haven't seen a game where he just keeps, like, he can't get it going. He's pick after pick. We haven't seen that yet. That's always an option, but that's the only way. That's really the only way this game is going to be that kind of a shootout.
Now, Mitch, in the same sense there, what do the Ravens have to keep the Steelers under? Like a point total-wise. Like, sure, the Ravens could score 24 and win, or could they only score 17? Do they have to hold the Steelers to under 17? What number, to put you on a spot here, but like, what number would you think, like, oh, man, like, Baltimore really can't let the Steelers score more than?
I would probably say it's around mid-20, like 24, 23. Somewhere 21, maybe somewhere in that range, I would say.
Yeah. And you know what, if that's what it came down to, and the Steelers put up, like you're saying, 23 points, I feel like that's probably a win for the Steelers too. Like we've seen the Ravens defense, score a few times this year. Potentially that's something
Marcus Peters can always score. So
it is true. He's such a gambler. He's either getting absolutely like shredded or he's taken one of the house. It's really interesting to see how teams attack him, especially when they play good teams, like against the Chiefs earlier this year. He just looked like a fool, like all game long. They're like, oh, you think it's a slant, but no, it's a sluggo, and we're just gonna hit you up the seam here. Oh, you think we're running out? Nope, double move, come back inside. Like he just did not look right. So in that sense, it will be interesting. On the flip side of that, Jeffrey, Ben Roethlisberger, can he have a big game in this one? Sure, like there isn't that same level of pass rush, but the Ravens secondary is still like elite. Can Ben Roethlisberger rip like the same sort of stats he had a couple weeks ago when he was over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns and no picks sort of thing?
Well, I know people are saying the Ravens secondary is still elite, but who's their fourth cornerback? Who's their number four? Because I believe it was Tramon Williams, who is a year younger than Ben Roethlisberger.
He was really good last year. I just want to put it out there.
But he's 37. Yeah. Like, and he's not big enough to, like, he's going to be facing someone good. Like, he's going to be facing a Deontay Johnson. He's going to be facing a James Washington. He's going to be facing a Ray-Ray McCloud, which, okay, maybe Ray-Ray won't give him that much trouble. But, like, he's going to have those kind of matchups. I think this is another game where the Steelers need to accept that, okay, if we can't get the run game going, drop into that 10 personnel, go empty set, and just be like, who's your worst defender? Because we're throwing at them all game. There's not a matchup you can't hide a receiver. You can't hide a cornerback sufficiently from this offense because we have too much depth at wide receiver. I think it's that kind of a game. I really think the Steelers need to just go out and say, all right, Ben's throwing it, and you don't have the depth to handle everybody, especially with Jimmy Smith coming off that injury. It was questionable whether he was going to play on Thursday. I expect he will play, but there's not much room for error when you've got a 37-year-old as your number four, and you've got a guy coming off an injury, coming back with a ankle injury, which may, you know, that can affect your ability to move side to side and cut with people. If he's out there on Deontay Johnson, like he did the previous game where he did really good on Deontay Johnson, I don't think he can handle Deontay Johnson if his ankle is 100%. So there's questions all around there, and I really expect the Steelers to end up with Ben Roethlisberger slinging the ball around and Ben being the big reason the Steelers win, as always.
They really live and die by Ben. But, Mitch, moving forward into the season here, the Steelers have the potential – it's not going to happen because the Jets would have to beat the Dolphins, but the Steelers could potentially clinch a playoff spot this week. It's not going to happen. next week they play the Washington football team. It should happen next week. They win two games. Then all of a sudden they're playoff bound. Like they already are playoff bound with the expanded playoff field, already hitting 10 wins, but, it's confirmed then, with this lack of rest, when do you think the Steelers should start kind of focusing on, giving people some rest, essentially? Should they start, looking at, times where they should potentially give Ben a game off, or they should, only play their starters for a half, or, is that sort of a myth? Is the rust factor too much, or should they start looking to actually start rest some of these guys down the stretch?
I've seen both. I've seen the team that gets rest better prepared. I've seen the team that gets rest come out flat and lose the first playoff game. I've seen, you know, being a Patriots fan, like Belichick never takes dudes off the field. They always play. So like, It's really up to the coach and the team and the situation. I think if a lot of guys are beat up and they need the rest, rest them. If they don't need the rest and they seem to be okay 100%, but it also depends on this year and the playoff format. Like, is there a bye? Is there no bye? Because that's a big deal too. Like, what if the Steelers and the Chiefs are? What if the Steelers are undefeated and the Chiefs only have one loss? Right? Like, a lot of things could, and there's only one bye. It's not like past years where there's two buys. So I really think it depends. I would say the week 17, that's the time to rest your players if you're going to rest your players. Up to that point, play your players, play to win.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Jeffrey, I know, I think we were talking about it off air last week. What is your sense on kind of resting players, specifically Ben Roethlisberger?
Ben Roethlisberger does not have a great history when he rests for multiple weeks. If he is out for like a couple of weeks, that game back is really hit or miss. Every once in a while he has a good one, but most of those games are not great. He is not a guy I want to see sitting down week 17 and then for a first round bye. He's not a guy I want to see resting 2 weeks in a row, like give him, you know, light work in week 16 and then he comes, sits down week 17 and then has a bye. Like that's just a recipe to get Ben, like, especially now that he's older, like, get him kind of settled, get him out of his groove. It takes him a while to get heated up. We're seeing him just now finding his timing, finding that deep ball connection. He has been such a much better quarterback the last 2 weeks than he was earlier in the season, despite the fact that he was playing great and putting up great numbers. You're just seeing him do more impressive throws. You're seeing him do more impressive things as a quarterback now than he was earlier. I don't want to see him sitting on the sidelines in a coat. You know, I don't want to see that for 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to in this one, looking back to when the Steelers lost to the Jaguars in the playoffs in 2017, they rested their starters week 17, had a bye. Then they went down 21 points in the first quarter of the Jaguars. And that was Ben a few years younger and with his old tendon still in his elbow. So I think that's something to keep in mind. I think he really needs to play at least a half in week 17. That's kind of what I'm leaning towards, especially if they're 15-0 and the Kansas City Chiefs are 14-1. Because then all of a sudden it's like all that work you did to get here could get thrown out the window if you lose this game to the Browns. And then all of a sudden, because – both teams have the same single divisional loss, then it's the eighth tiebreaker. All of a sudden, you could be screwed because the Chiefs had more passing yards than you. Like one of those ridiculous tiebreakers. Yeah. So I think in that sense, they should be playing to win as long as the Chiefs continue to win. You look at their schedule, it's a little bit harder for the Chiefs down the stretch, but it'll be interesting to see where that goes. Moving on here, I'm interested to get your guys' X factors in this game. I'll start with Jeffrey to give Mitch a minute to think of an X factor in this one. What are you leaning towards as one specific player to really kind of take over this game?
Deontay Johnson. Ben has been hot throwing to him these last 2 weeks. Their timing is getting really good, and that is Deontay Johnson's game. He is all about sharp cuts, and if Ben is hitting him, that's just going to be consistent yardage. And that's what you need against the Ravens. If you're gonna you get a drive going with some cheap passes, cheap yards here, cheap yards there, with just those quick like boom drop throw, and he catches a 5 yard in route, stuff like that. That's gonna be where the Steelers set up bigger plays, set up the run game, do all of that by getting that timing routes going. And if Jimmy Smith isn't, that ankle is giving him any trouble, that knee ankle, it was a leg injury. If that's giving any trouble with his lateral mobility, then Deontay Johnson could be a huge factor in this game.
Right now, Mitch, what are you thinking for next factor?
He went offense. I'll go defense. I'm thinking Bud Dupree. I think, you know, right? The edge setter. I brought up the edge setter, how essential it is to play the Ravens in the run game and in the pass game. And their pass rush is going to be a big reason I believe they will win. So I'm going to go Bud Dupree.
Throw it out to Terrell Edmonds. What a turnaround. His stats are absolutely ridiculous this year compared to just a year ago already. Two interception game against the Jaguars. If Terrell Edmonds is picking up two interceptions in a game, I guarantee you the Steelers are winning that game.
Can he catch it?
But he's got to shut down Mark Andrews again, who, as another person that was on the injury report, that was someone questionable for Thursday game. I think he would have played because of the importance of the game already. But since it's being bumped back a couple days, I think you're seeing Mark Andrews for sure. What Terrell Edmonds can do to shut him down will be one of the keys to the game. Mitch, one of the things we also like to do on our show is if you could pluck one player off the Steelers roster and put them on your team's roster, who would it be? I'm not letting you say TJ Watt.
Damn.
Because everyone said that until we changed the rule about a week ago. I'm curious if you could take one player off the Steelers roster that's not named TJ Watt, who would it be?
That makes it more difficult because I would have definitely picked TJ Watt. The Patriots need receivers. I don't know if you've seen them play this year. So I'm going to take – I really, really, really like both Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool, so it's kind of a tough one. I would say in terms of the ceiling, it would be Chase Claypool. If I was to say right now, it would be Deontay Johnson.
Okay. Jeffrey, plucking one guy off the Ravens. Who's it going to be?
One guy from the Ravens. Okay, that's you're gonna say. Oh man,
I know who it is.
I'll take Dobbins,
J.K. Dobbins.
Wow, really?
Like, I'm not taking Lamar. I'm not taking him. We don't have a team built for him. Like, we don't. I don't think that works. But I guess I'll take Lamar. I'll take J.K. Dobbins as another running back. I don't like their roster. I'm just gonna be honest with you. I don't like it.
It's funny. I feel like I said something along the lines of that on Twitter, and I was ripped apart for it before the season started. Like, looking at the Ravens, like, I don't like their receiving core. Yeah. I don't like their offensive line without Marshall Yanda. Here's the thing.
Even if you look, I said that last year. That's where I was wrong, right? And then all of a sudden, 12 Pro Bowlers. What? Where?
Yeah, no kidding. Before we get out here, as we're getting to the top of the clock, we also like to do our score predictions. Mitch, I know you did say you spoiled it a little bit, but if you could put a hard number on this game, which way are you leaning, and what's the final score?
I'm going to go Steelers 24-17.
One score game. That's breaking the spread, but Jeffrey, yeah, what are you thinking?
I was going to say it was going to be close last week, and I went away from that, and I was right. I'm going to say this week, I'm going to go again with a big score, 31-10, Steelers.
It's a big score. Mitch, I see your reaction. We had an article, of course, our website, we're all geared up, changed our podcast schedule for the game to be tomorrow night, so it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the week goes from here. Oh, yeah. I'm not actually too sure. I got to hit our group chat after this, but we were going to have our scores come out tomorrow, and my score was extremely similar to what Jeffrey's was. I said the Steelers 31-13 was my final score prediction. I with just all the injuries, especially on a short week, I thought that was going to be a huge one. Yeah. I might tweak it a little bit to be a little bit closer, but I think I might wait to see on how all the injuries kind of fall into place as the week goes on here, but I am definitely leaning Steelers a little bit more heavily. As we get out, Mitch, anything you want to plug just to before we get out here? Bottom Line View, what kind of stuff can people expect from you?
Yeah, so you could check me out at the Bottom Line View on YouTube. NFL content basically every day, NFL picks, fantasy content, cover the entire NFL. So if you're interested in that analysis and all that fun stuff, check out the Bottom Line View on YouTube.
Awesome. Jeffrey, I'm sure you got some great film rooms coming up. I'm sure you had it probably planned out a little bit differently with the game tomorrow. So are we expecting a film room tomorrow, or is that going to have to wait?
No, my normal Thursday film room came out today. It was titled Be Thankful You're Not Jake Luton Facing the Steelers Pass Rush. It was a fun video to make. This, and it covers a lot of the lesser known aspects of how the Steelers pass rush, including a phenomenal play by TJ Watt where he just crashed into an offensive lineman and created almost an interception off of it by really not beating anyone. It was a great play. Really shows off the intelligence, the athleticism, the execution, the selflessness of the Steelers pass rush, and how Keith Butler has molded them into the best pass rush the NFL has seen in a very long time.
Awesome. Now, as we get out, I want to make sure to remind everyone to click over to behindthesteelcurtain.com for great articles, daily analysis and recap, some commentary as the week goes on. Of course, everything's going to be a little bit different with the game Sunday, but you're still going to get great content from our website. Of course, check out our entire podcast family. And as Snowman says, he puts $5 on the tip jar. He says, happy Thanksgiving to Steelers Nation. I'll echo that. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Enjoy the turkey. Try to enjoy some football. The matchups aren't as good as it was going to be, I will admit, but
No five-star matchups.
Yeah, because we're not in it. But
yeah, we're not in it.
enjoy your weekend. Be safe. And we will see you guys next week.